The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside. We had a busy week. We looked at Disney Plus, Swamp Thing, Dark Phoenix trailer, Star Wars trailer, Star Wars fan reaction, Why the Last Man, rumors, all sorts of stuff, and of course, we talked about books and a recommended reading, and then we get into Endgame. So let's hurry up and get into the store. It's been a busy week. Hey, John, you excited? We got 1 week, 1 week away.
I am excited to not spend 7 days on the internet because... I don't want to find out anything ahead of time.
So you haven't seen Hellboy yet? Because we're 1 week away from our Hellboy review.
Is that what you're talking about?
Are you excited? I'm excited.
Oh. Can you tell how excited I am for Hellboy?
have you seen the reviews?
I have seen the reviews. They're better than what I told you they were going to be, and... If that tells you anything about what I told you.
Well, next week should be fun. we're going to be challenged.
Yeah.
It's probably the first big challenge of our bright side perspective.
Yeah.
Hello. Yeah. Hello.
Well, that anybody's heard.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
You know, we've had other shows, but yeah. As I told you when you put this schedule up, I don't know what we're going to talk about because I don't plan on going to see it. So, we'll figure it out, I guess. But I have no intentions between now and next Wednesday of seeing Hellboy.
Oh, boy. So, that's going to make it tough.
Yeah.
All right. So,
not unless somebody, you know, drops some tickets off at my door and says, here's some $20 for popcorn and a drink.
Oh, jeez. You want that too? You can't get your own. Here's free tickets, but you want drinks too. Popcorn and
Hey,
you're not paying for anything.
Tickets are cheap. The real money's in the snacks. Oh. Man.
Sneak in a soda pop.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I don't plan on going to see it, but if I can sneak it in sometime between next week, I'll try to go. But I don't know if I will or not. Sunday being Easter, you know, I'm not going Sunday, obviously.
Right.
And,
right.
So, I don't know. We'll see.
So, speaking of the bright side of stuff, what do you have? Did you listen to Ralph Garman this morning and his interview with that Star Wars fan? Did you hear that part of it?
Well, no, I haven't got that far into the show yet.
So...
Remember, my commute is only 15 minutes total, it takes me a while to get through those shows. It's an hour long. Is that's it? 4 days worth of commutes.
He has a show every day. What are you, like,
I
6 months behind?
To peek behind the curtain. I listen when I'm working out and stuff, but this morning
I
was lazy.
So, yeah, you're 5 months behind.
No, thank you very much. But this morning I was lazy and I slept in, so I did not listen while I was working out because I did not work out. but no, usually I have to listen to it all morning because my commute's not long enough for me to listen to a full show. So I've listened to about half of it.
All right. Well, anyways, he interviewed that guy. And
yeah.
It's a really good interview. The guy's obviously a fanatic. Which I thought when it first came out, I thought I'm like, that's funny. I've got it playing right now because it's in my notes, and he's 40 years old. He's engaged. Short version of the interview is he's kind of laughing. He feels bad for the woman that kind of got really upset with him.
Remember last week when we were talking about Shazam? And I said that Billy's mother was a piece of garbage.
Mm-hmm.
This lady's worse.
Well, listen to this. So the lady is now like, she's complaining because of the backlash she's getting from Twitter. And it, right. it was like, well, wait a minute. You created it. At least this guy right. was. And if you listen, he's had a YouTube page for 3 years, YouTube channel for 3 years. And his sole purpose was pretty much exactly what we're doing, is like just trying to show like the passion and be positive about things. And hey, if this is you, be happy about it. There's, you know what I mean? And this is the first time it's really blown up on him like this. And he had a great analogy. Obviously, he said, like, I think he even said the term, like, I'm going to nerd out here. He goes, but it's like the scene in Star Wars Episode 2 when they're battling at the end and in the waiting for all the Jedi to come in and save them. He goes, that was me. And then all of the Twitterverse came and saved me. Right. Because everybody just, they're just bashing that woman. And he's like, look, he even said, he goes, I don't want her to get any death threats or anything. That's not right. She doesn't deserve that. But he goes, I am kind of laughing at the hypocrisy.
Well, yeah, obviously nobody should get death threats. But I mean, this is a woman that went out of her way to post something hurtful and had no problems with the backlash or the shame that she thought she was going to create for this guy.
Right.
And now she's backpedaling because she's... Because it you know,
right, like what it
boomeranged on her, and
good term,
you know, I have no sympathy, no sympathy for this lady at all.
No.
She's a piece of garbage. You know, was his reaction over the top? Yes, it was.
But that's part of being a fan. You're
right,
a fanatic,
exactly.
And
he loves Star Wars.
If his team had just won the Super Bowl, nobody would have said anything. We would have all been like, yeah, that's me. You know, it's like, remember...
Or if it was any team besides the Patriots and they didn't win the Super Bowl.
Right.
Because, you know, that's everybody else.
Right.
you know, they look the same way, too. I look forward to the comments, you know,
yeah.
after this episode.
No, I was actually just going to mention, I don't know which... That's the sad thing. I don't know which Super Bowl it was, but Chris Evans jumping in the stands like a lunatic. After the Patriots, right. I think it was the one, because, I mean, it was an improbable almost win when they intercepted it in the end. Butler intercepted it
right,
in the end
zone. Right, that was, Seattle.
Yeah, the Seattle Super Bowl.
Like 20...
Whatever.
14 or so?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And, but Chris Evans was there. He's a Boston guy. And he's jumping up and down in the stands, and his buddies are videotaping it. And but you know what I mean? So it's like it's on the same level as that. And we've seen many sports fans react the exact same way, you know. But I thought it was great.
Just this lady sitting there watching, you know, if we were filming her watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians, we might have had the same kind of video. So, because, you know, garbage people tend to flock together. So,
okay. All right.
I look forward to the comments after this episode.
Yeah, there you go. So, anyways.
All of our listeners are closet Kardashian fans. So.
Right. Anyways, quickly, what'd you think of the Star Wars trailer?
Oh, man, I thought it was great. You know, obviously we don't get a whole lot to it, but there was enough to keep us talking for 6 months, I guess, till we see more. I really like the title. I think it's an awesome title. I love the, you know, conversations that I'm already having, like, what does that mean? Who's the Skywalker?
Right.
Is it Luke? Is it Rey? Is it... You know,
I had somebody on Twitter,
Kylo Ren.
Somebody on Twitter right away said they hated the title. And I was like, are you kidding me? We don't know what that means. That's the best part of the whole thing.
How do you hate? Right. How can you hate it?
All it's doing is that title, just like you said, 6 months of speculation. It's awesome.
I mean, the footage I love the Rey's backflip into the TIE Interceptor.
Oh,
I love the Emperor's...
Did you hear that?
You know, laugh at the end. So, I mean, you know, what does that mean? Like, how is the Emperor... Like, there's just so many things that are now in your head.
And I love what Disney did with the whole, this is the last movie for a while.
Yeah.
They're going to take a break, which that just, like, everybody's like, well, now I've got to see it like a million times. They just drove sales through the roofs with that. Roofs.
The roofs are on fire.
Wait till I get the comments from my wife for that one.
Yeah.
but yeah, no.
Right. And I don't know which trilogy we get first, if it's the Rian Johnson trilogy or the Benioff and Weiss trilogy, you know, but, you know, that'll probably be the next thing that we get, will be one of these trilogies from, you know, like I said, either Rian Johnson or the Game of Thrones guys, which seems to be Knights of the Old Republic, which I'm super excited about, if that ends up being the case.
Yeah, and how long are they going to wait?
We don't know what Rian Johnson... Well, who knows? You know, Game of Thrones is done, and they've probably been done with it for several months now already, you know, and could be working on it right now for all we know. I'm sure they are, to some degree, at least in preliminary stages, but... You know, it's a couple of years, I would imagine, before we get anything.
Oh, at least. I'd say they're going to take 3 to 4 years off before we get another Star Wars movie.
Which, you know, I don't understand, really. You know, people talk about Star Wars fatigue, but, you know, and I know we've brought this up before, but there's no Marvel. Like, you don't see them taking, they're not taking 3 or 4 years off from Marvel movies.
I hope not.
So I don't understand why they're taking 3 or 4 years off from Star Wars. I don't buy into Star Wars fatigue. I don't think that's the reason why Solo didn't do as well as they wanted it to. You know, there's other factors that go into that, you know, so I don't understand why they're taking a big, big break, when they're not doing that with Marvel, but you know, I guess they have their... They have their reasons for it.
Well,
other than maybe these guys just aren't ready. Like, maybe they're taking a forced break in the sense that, you know, they don't have anything really that's going to be ready in a year or two, and might be the bigger reason why they're taking this break.
Yeah. Well, and I think the other part is, and we'll segue into Disney Plus. I think that's the other part is that we're going to have so much more content at our fingertips. That we'll be able to, like, we have The Mandalorian coming on in November. We know that's, that's the Titans version. We know we're getting that day one.
Right, but that's not going to bridge the gap between Rise of the Skywalker and the next movie, because that comes before Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
Now, we get the Cassian Andor series.
If there was such a thing as, there was such a thing as Star Wars fatigue, they wouldn't be doing... all of these other Star Wars entities, you know.
The big movies. But you could say the same thing. I mean, they're dropping, like, Marvel series every other day for Disney Plus. Like, there's, like, at least 35 that I can think of that they're talking about. So they don't have to do a movie for the next 10 years either if they don't want to, because we're getting them all on Disney Plus.
Did you
for $69 a year? So
I know. You see the that little demo that I tweeted out where they show like how you're gonna scroll through the page and it'll have Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars.
Well,
National Geographic, which we're all excited for.
I mean, I saw it all over the internet. Yeah. I don't know if I saw it necessarily on your tweet.
The one where they actually showed somebody scrolling through. The actual video of somebody scrolling through and choosing.
Oh, no, I saw just the screen caps.
Oh, no, it was, that's what I was asking. There was one where they scrolled through and you could see the images and then they chose. I can't wait for it. You see, Captain Marvel's one of the choices there. They've got Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back. All the movies are there.
I really liked that the original trilogy was right there, front and center.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Looks like all that's going to be there. Now, again, it's going to be the special edition versions, I'm sure.
How do you know? I was just going to ask that. Wouldn't that be cool if they offered both?
I would love that, but I don't think they will, just based on the stance that they've already taken, saying that they don't plan on releasing them on Blu-ray. It would seem odd that they would put them on their streaming service.
Maybe that's why. If you can't get it anywhere else except for their streaming service. That doesn't change
the stance. It doesn't change. Kathleen Kennedy's statements are that she doesn't want to go against George Lucas's wishes. So whether it's on Blu-ray or streaming, it doesn't, you know what I mean? It doesn't change anything. It would still be going against his wishes. Now, my response to that would be, you know, you paid billions for Star Wars. Do what the hell you want.
Correct.
You know, but I don't think they will. I would love it. You know, obviously we've talked about it a couple weeks ago. To me, the only true way to watch them is the original cut. So,
yeah,
I really, as much as I love the, you know, the quote unquote bootlegs that I bought, I would love to see official, you know, 4K releases.
Yeah.
of these. So, and that's the other thing too, is I wonder if this is going to support 4K. Is it going to support Atmos? You know, because right now DC Universe does not support either one of those.
No, so, no.
I would love, and you know, really, other than Netflix, you know, Hulu and Amazon Prime, even though Amazon Prime claims to support it, they really don't.
Amazon does 4K. They do a little bit,
but their Atmos doesn't work.
Right, not well. Actually, I did get it to work on Xbox. There is a workaround for that.
I actually got, now we're going way off, but I got Jack Ryan to work in Atmos off of my Apple TV. But I couldn't get it to work off of the
Fire Stick. Oh.
Which is weird.
I should try it again on Apple TV. But yeah,
like I said, other than basically Netflix that supports both of those things,
right,
none of the other streaming services really do. So, you know, Disney already, you know, and I hate to say it because, you know, I love DC Universe and I love DC product. But this app that we haven't even really gotten our hands yet is already 10 times better than the DC Universe. And if they come out supporting 4K or Atmos, I mean, it's just going to blow things. It's going to blow things up. I will then truly cancel Netflix and not even look back.
I don't know. I mean, I'm one. You're one that would really love to have 4K and Atmos and all that, but I don't think the masses need it. And I think
4K TVs now are. You can get 4K TVs at Walmart for a couple hundred bucks now. So 4K is out there. You know, I think a lot more people have 4K capability than, you know, did a couple of years ago. Now, people that are worrying about Atmos and things like that is a smaller subset
of
the population for sure.
But what I'm saying is I think if I played you a 1080p or a 4K on those TVs, most people aren't going to know the difference. Most people won't be happy with the content. Right. And a lot of these 4K TVs, they upscale it so well anyways, you're not going to really.
But I guess my point would be, like, from their end, why not build the infrastructure for the future?
Oh, yeah.
And
well, kind of like.
I don't think from a cost perspective would be that much more for them. So I just don't see the reason to not.
Well, that's what
it
makes me hopeful, because there's 8K TVs out now. And there's no content for them. There's actually, I mean, I could go down a real nerd rabbit hole with you here, but the 8K TVs, there's no content, and there's no way to get the content even if you had it into the TV. You just know that the TV has 8K capabilities. Right. So, but they're out there,
well,
and that's the next level.
At a certain point, you can't even tell the difference anyways.
Well, yeah.
You know, your eye can't even discern the difference between 4K and 8K. Regardless, I don't think so.
But I would venture to guess that all of these are going to be getting to some 4K format. The other part with 4K though is it bogs down your system. It's just a bigger file that you're sending through, and when you're starting something out, kind of like we've talked about the issues we've had with the DC Universe, you don't necessarily want to get bogged down, you know. So
you don't. But again, here's like, again, I don't want to. You know,
oh, this is my world. I love this stuff.
I don't want to bash. Well, what I'm saying is I don't want to bash DC to lift up Marvel.
Oh, that, yeah.
But I mean, again, here's Marvel's doing it right, because at launch, they're going to be available on every platform. They're going to be on your Xbox. They're going to be on your PlayStation.
Yeah.
Like, they just took their time and they didn't rush it. And yes, of course, they probably could have put it out a year ago, just like DC Universe, but they weren't ready. Mm-hmm. And they waited and they took their time. And they're going to launch huge.
Well, let's see. We'll see.
You know, we're going to talk about, in a few minutes, I'm sure, some news with Swamp Thing on DC Universe. And, you know, now the speculation is out there, you know, is DC Universe in trouble? What's going on? Blah, blah, blah. And,
well,
you know, a lot of people are attributing it to the announcement of Marvel, you know, of Disney Plus. And, you know, the excitement that it's already got, I think they're, it's going to open huge. I mean, yes, of course, we'll see and we'll talk about it
when it happens.
When it happens, but there's no way. I'm calling my shot now. I'm Babe Ruthing it. It's going to, you know, it's going
to
open.
You're Babe Ruthing something that you're only a spectator to? Nice job.
Yep. I know,
you're
right?
Calling the shot. You'll sit back and watch.
Hey, they're going to get my $69, so I'm more than a spectator. I'm a contributor.
Yeah, speaking of, let's go right into that, the whole DC Universe Swamp Thing. So, the news this morning drops that Swamp Thing pulls production early.
Right.
And by the first reports, it sounds like they just, like, pulled up their, like, tent spikes and were like, we're going home and we're not even finishing. And it, you know, like, they were supposed to do 12 episodes. They're only at 10 now. They left. The crew's upset. We thought we were doing something good. These are all in the reports. The actors are upset. But then by the end of the afternoon, it sounds like, no, we just had artistic differences and we cut it to 10 because that's where we thought it was going to be. And now Swamp Thing actually has a Twitter feed that they've had since May of last year, and their first tweet today is the little teaser trailer for Swamp Thing, which coincidentally comes out about 6 hours after the news that they're in trouble.
Yeah, well, it's the internet, so you know, 90% of what you read on the internet is untruth or half truth.
I thought it was the other way around. 90% was true.
Okay.
I got to rethink everything now.
I have a bridge in, you know, in Arizona that I can sell you to.
John, wait a minute. What part are we part of? We're on the internet, buddy. Like, you got to pick a side here.
We're the 10%.
Yeah.
I mean, 99% of what we say is just speculation and half-truths. So. Right.
I was going to just say, I'm real. Sadly.
It's the truth. It's the truth as we see it. Right. So.
But yeah, I'm wondering how much of what happened this morning was true and just somebody putting out some erroneous report, and now DC kind of like trying to put a fire out. They're like, all right, let's roll out our Swamp Thing. Like, did they even intend to roll out the Swamp Thing teaser today? Or was it like, we better do this now?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, we've already seen, you know, we saw it with Titans where they shaved a whole episode off because they changed their mind, you know, at some point during production. So, like you said, did it go from 13 episodes to 10 because DC Universe is in trouble, or is it just they figured this was a better place to end the story?
Right.
You know,
well, nice
we
to
don't
find
know for
this
sure.
out now instead of after episode 10 like we did with Titans.
Right.
Like, oh, there's only one left?
But also today I saw another picture of another Stargirl promo shot. So I mean, DC Universe isn't going anywhere. No. I don't think, you know, again, are they doing what they were anticipating business-wise? All signs point to no. Like, it doesn't
actually
sound
the
like
report
they're
this afternoon said they're ahead of schedule.
They said they're
ahead of what they speculated they'd be at by now, which I don't know if they just speculated too low. And,
right.
But all these people that are reporting they're not doing well, you and I have talked about this in the past. Like, where do they get that information? Because nobody's putting any numbers out.
Right. Well, again, most of these sites are just clickbait headlines anyways for, you know, 90% of these sites. And, you know, like you said, you can only take a certain amount of truth out of anything. Until it officially, you know, until I read it on DC Universe's, like, official forums or official Twitter page or Facebook page, and they say, hey, this is this, then I guess you have to, you know, you kind of have to take notice and believe what they say, because that's an announcement. It's not it's not a speculation. But anything else is just guesswork. And, you know, who knows? And we'll probably never know. I don't know that DC Universe is in trouble or not, but it's disappointing that we're getting three less episodes of Swamp Thing, because from the teaser it looks awesome,
literally the teaser
is just
swamp.
Right. Well, literally it's just him popping his head out of the water, it still looked awesome. Like, that looks far and away better than most TV special effects that you
right.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, they've obviously put some money into it, and they've put some, you know, real love into it. So,
you know what I thought was well, this in my own mind, I thought this was funny. I'm watching the trailer, and I was so spooked by the information from this morning that I'm like, oh, it, like you said, is this just clickbait? I didn't verify anything. I just clicked on the trailer, and I'm like, is this going to just stop and, like, all of a sudden you're going to get that clipboard come through and go, and cut. All right, we're out of time. I was like, you know, like they never finished the trailer like,
right,
as a bad joke. And then when you see them come out of the water, and I thought that was really cool, but there's not really anything there. A lot of people, I've read their comments on Twitter, and like you said, that looks awesome. I'm like, it very well could have been the commercial for the, you know, U.S. Army Rangers.
Right.
No. So, it, I mean.
Well, you know.
Oh, it's a tease, all right.
That's what a teaser is, yeah. You know, a teaser is that. But you can still see what the makeup's going to look like. You know, you can still see the quality of it.
Right.
And, you know, I think it looked really good.
So far we know they make a badass teaser.
Right.
Well,
that's where all the budget went. That's why they had to cut 3 episodes off.
Yeah. All right. Also today, did you see Dark Phoenix trailer?
No, I have seen a Dark Phoenix trailer though, or a teaser or something. I saw something a little while ago.
Oh, really? You didn't see the one today? I think it was today. It dropped today.
Yeah, it did. But you know how I feel about trailers.
Oh.
And I don't watch them. Once I've seen one thing, I don't go back and watch anything else. So,
okay. So I thought it was really good. I'm really looking forward to that one.
You know, from what I saw originally, I'm kind of lukewarm to it.
All right, let me.
I'm hoping that it turns out to be really good. But
so, I'm looking forward to it. As I put out on Twitter today, I love the first X-Men movie. I love all of the X-Men movies. Some are better than others, of course, but I always look forward to an X-Men movie. How do people know, like, what about this, like you said, you're lukewarm to it? Why?
I don't know. It just didn't excite me when I saw this. Like, it really just didn't get me going. Because here's how I feel about Dark Phoenix. Because we had Dark Phoenix already in the X-Men 2 or 3 or whichever X-Men movie it was. I don't even know.
Yeah, it was 3.
So here's the deal. I either want this to be Endgame quality awesome, or I don't want it. Well, don't laugh, because let me explain. I either want it to be that awesome, or I don't want it to exist at all. And here's the reason why. Because we all know now that the X-Men, you know, reverted to Disney. And the Dark Phoenix saga is my favorite X-Men story of all time. So I want to see an awesome Dark Phoenix movie.
Okay.
And I have a feeling that we're not going to see Disney do a Dark Phoenix movie, because we've already had it twice. So the chances of Disney coming and doing a Dark Phoenix saga movie anytime in the next 15 or 20 years is probably pretty slim. Because even when they start making X-Men movies, they're going to do other stories. There's a million other stories that they could do. So I either want this to be the best movie that they've ever done, or I don't want them to do it at all, and that way Disney could come in and they could do it, and they would actually do it right. So,
all right,
I don't feel like it's going to meet that quality standard for me, that's why I would just, honestly, I would rather it not exist. Now, obviously it does, and it's coming out, so that's just wish fulfillment. It's not going to happen.
Right.
But I feel like it's I just feel like it's wasting a slot. Like, it's wasting this story that we're probably not going to get again in, you know, in anywhere in the next, who knows, 15 years or so. So that's how I feel about it. And it just didn't excite me like I was hoping it would. Because I just love this story. I really like the storyline. And the scope of the story, if you have read it in the comics, it's more than a 2-hour movie. Like, this is something that I want to see. I would like to see Disney build to this almost like they did to Endgame. You know, like, I want to see multiple X-Men movies with end credit scenes teasing the Phoenix and, you know, building up to it so that three or four movies in, that's like the payoff is like the Dark Phoenix saga.
Right.
Or the Dark Phoenix movie. That, to me, that's the way I think it should be done. And the way they've done it with Fox, basically, you know, kind of making her ultra powerful at the end of Apocalypse, and then all of a sudden we have the Dark Phoenix saga. There's so much of it that just didn't get told that.
Yeah. But
I wish that we would get that whole epic space opera that it really turns out to be, you know, because there's all kinds of stuff that happens that, you know, we're just not really going to get.
Yeah. But at the same time, you're comparing it to, and I'm not saying it's not a fair comparison. I'm not saying you don't, I mean, that sounds great if they could build to what you're saying. But even the end game, you know, what we're about to get next week isn't even a story. From everything we know so far, it's a story, you know, it's a compilation of stories. It's not a one particular story that's being told in a movie form. You know what I mean?
I understand what
you know
mean,
what I
yeah,
mean?
I
it's like,
that.
It's not
I
like
do,
it, we, there's no book that we can look at and spoil the movie. So to,
no,
to
I
do
understand.
A,
yeah.
To do the Dark
I mean,
Phoenix,
I get
the,
that, but.
To do Dark Phoenix the way they're doing it, I understand what you would like, but at the same time, they usually don't do movies exactly like the books anyways.
No, and it doesn't have to be exact.
Right.
But what I'm saying is I want something on that scope. I want that grand.
Grand, yeah. You want a
scope
that's
more than a two.
A little more detail.
It's more than just a 2-hour movie. Right. Because, well, you know, again, it's. We haven't even really seen her be Phoenix before she becomes Dark Phoenix. You know what I mean? It's like. There's the progression from Jean Grey, Marvel Girl, to Phoenix, to Dark Phoenix, that built for years through the comics. And it, to me, it's getting scrunched down into 5 minutes at the end of Apocalypse and then a 2-hour movie. And yeah. We're supposed to believe this whole transformation takes place in, you know, an hour because the second half of the movie has to be them beating Dark Phoenix or whatever, you know. So it just feels very compressed and rushed down to me with something that is a pretty big storyline. And I think that's why the movie's just gonna fall short for me. I'm not saying I won't like, hell, everybody hates Apocalypse and I loved it. I thought it was a great movie. So
yeah, I liked it too. Like I said, I like the X-Men movies. They're just some, obviously if you have a bunch of movies, there's going to be better movies than other movies, but I mean, they're all still fun comic book movies.
Right.
I,
yeah.
I really
hey, I liked,
it.
I liked Days of Future Past. I liked the first.
Yeah. Yeah,
I've really liked them the second time around. Like I've liked the First Class, like this kind of version.
Yeah.
Of them more so than the first, but those weren't bad either. I mean,
no,
especially when they came out,
they actually
hold
up pretty well for me. I really like to go back and watch them. And I mean, and you think about it, some of them like that first one. Yeah. You could tell it's old, but I think that actually holds up better than, Spider-Man from 2002. I you know, watching the first X-Men, I thought was, you know, I think it's really good. I think it holds up.
I mean,
well.
I haven't seen it in a while, so I'd have to go back.
It's
and
probably been about 6 months
it,
for me, but
oh, I'm talking years.
Oh.
I haven't seen it for a while.
Two more quick things. Did you hear about Marvel developing possibly She-Hulk and Hulk series?
I did see that.
Starring Mark Ruffalo, which I have a feeling is going to be similar to the Hawkeye one where he comes in first episode and goes, yeah, I'll be back, and he comes back at the last episode.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be the same as Jeremy Renner starring in Hawkeye.
Yeah, it's just to get
but
you
I'm
in.
Okay with, you know, She-Hulk was one of the properties that was supposed to be on the boards for Netflix. You know, they were supposed to do a second wave of TV shows that they never, you know, never materialized. And, like, my dream show was actually going to be, like, a Law and Order courtroom drama with Matt Murdock and She-Hulk.
Yeah.
But I don't think we'll get that on Disney Plus because they won't have Daredevil. But I don't know. I think a She-Hulk TV show would be awesome. So
well,
it's just one.
Looks like
they're,
we might get
they're
it.
Announcing. So here's the thing that I like, and at the same time I don't really like with some of the things that we're seeing from Disney Plus. Every show that they've really announced is trading off of the MCU. Like, they don't really have anything that's not based off of one of the characters that we've already seen in the movies. And we've seen all those already. Like, where's my Moon Knight TV show? Where's, you know, where's some stuff that we're not seeing already in the movie theaters? Like, well, you know, again, a Winter Soldier Falcon show will probably be awesome.
Right, but
I've already
seen those
dudes.
They're playing to the masses right now. They're playing to the masses to get everybody to get the app. Because if they if they start going to the niche stuff, then you got to, you know what I mean? It's like they're playing to the masses, then they'll give us that stuff later. I'm sure.
But, you know, again, to compare back to DC Universe, like, how big could their launch have been if their original programming was the Justice League or Batman, you know? But they didn't do that. They gave us Titans and Swamp Thing and Doom Patrol.
Right.
You know? They could have had a huge launch if they would have given us Jason Momoa Aquaman, or, you know, Aqualad starring Jason Momoa, or Wonder Girl starring Gal Gadot, you know.
But actually, let's be fair. They didn't have any of that when they launched. They didn't
know but they
what
had
Aquaman.
Justice League. They had Batman.
And everybody
they
hated the negative feedback from that
lot greater. You can't tell me that if they announced a live-action Batman show, even with the feedback from the Justice League movie, you can't tell me that they wouldn't have had 10 times the subscribers that they do now. Everybody would have signed up for a Batman live action show.
Yeah, you can't get Batfleck to do the next movie. You're going
to
get him into
doesn't
a
have
TV
to be
show.
Batfleck. Well, it doesn't have to be him. My point being is that, like, I would like to see, you know, at least on the Star Wars side, we're getting, like, the Mandalorian.
Right.
You know, which, you know, obviously we've known, like, we know Boba Fett, we've seen Mandalorians, but it's not something that's trading directly off of, you know, the movies. And, you know, again, I'm just throwing it out there. I'm going to love every one of these shows, I'm sure.
I can't wait.
But it just, I would have liked to see something that's not really directly trading on a movie. And they've already given us enough. Even with what they've announced, that's enough. Like, they could announce 10 other shows now that don't have anything to do with the MCU, and they're still going to get the same amount of subscribers.
Right.
But, you know, like I said, I would love to see a Moon Knight TV show. I would love to see, you know, now I'm drawing a blank on any other characters, but there's so many characters that, you know, I would like to see, you know, on a TV. Well, Moon Knight's the number one. Like, I would just love to see a Moon Knight TV show. I think it would be awesome. So, that's really what I'm hoping for. And,
alright.
You know, like I said, I'm looking forward to Hawkeye and the Hulk and all that stuff, but I just feel like they're trading very heavily on their established cinematic universe.
Hey, that's what sells. Brings in the bucks, baby. Yeah. So, last thing, news on Why the Last Man. Another flip-flop piece of news. Did you see that?
I did.
They start out saying that FX regrets to inform you. They've decided not to move forward with our series in its current form. And then I think later that same day, we get the, where was it? We get the message it was more of, hang on, let me pull it up. Variety reported later that day. Why isn't it coming up? But basically saying, no, that's not true. We're still going forward. Skip. Where did it go? Okay. Showrunners exited, but they're still going with it.
Right.
Michael Green and Adea Mashaka Kroll have departed the series due to creative differences. A spokesperson for FX said the network is still planning to move forward with the series with its current cast. Diane Lane stars, leading an ensemble cast, Barry Keoghan, blah, blah, blah.
Right, but what does that do for production? Like, at the very least, it slows things down 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, while they get new showrunners, and, you know, new showrunners are going to want to have their vision, you know, or some kind of control over what, you know, to me, you solve this by making Brian K. Vaughan the showrunner. He wrote the damn thing. Let him run the show, or at least have creative veto power or what have you. And,
well,
you know, that way you get the vision that the creator wants to have. Now, he's a busy guy, so maybe he doesn't want to do that or doesn't have time to do that, but...
Right, and, and maybe that's not... It's one thing to write that, but it's another thing to run a show. It's, you know... So, I don't know. But I thought it was... At first, we were like, oh, it's done. No good. It's all gone. And now, at least it's good news that they're going to keep it. They're going to run it. But just delayed, apparently. So, all right. You got anything else?
No.
Nope. All right. That should do it for that. All right. You ready to get into some books?
Always.
All right. How am I going to spend my money this week?
All right. So, our Speculator Corner for this week starts out with Naomi issue number 4 from DC Comics. So, this thing was selling yesterday on eBay between $15 and $20. A day before release, sold out at Diamond before release. And, you know, again, this appears to be based on nothing but low print runs. I can't see any other reason why this series is doing the things it's doing. I didn't put it on the back issue bonus for this week, but issue number 1 has jumped again to $70 now. That's insane to me for a book that came out 3 months ago that doesn't have any kind of real reason to be going up. There's no TV or movie property tied to it. Yes, it is Naomi's first appearance, but why is that even important? Like, who is Naomi that she should have this worth $70?
So,
you know?
We had a book. What was the book? It was... We were talking about a couple of books a few weeks ago, and we couldn't understand why stuff was going on. There was a character.
Spawn, we were talking about.
And all of a sudden, book. A TV show got announced for... Oh, it was the Hawkeye.
Oh, well, we've been talking about Young Avengers. Yeah, but we've been talking about that for a long
but
time.
But you were talking about... what's her name?
Kate Bishop.
And you were talking in... a month ago, if not longer, about some of her books popping up and going up in the, you know, in the Speculator Corner. We're talking about it, and we didn't know why, but then they announced in the last couple of weeks, they're announcing that she's going to have a show. So I'm wondering,
well, her book really started climbing though after the first Endgame teaser, which was, you know, what, 6 months ago or 4 months ago or whatever it was. That's when it really started. That's when that book went from a $15 book to a $60 book.
See, I thought we had it even before that. I thought we saw stuff before. We were talking about it even before
that. Well, because
that.
They've been speculating her for Endgame even before the teaser. I don't know what it was based on, but they've been speculating her for Endgame for a long time. And that's what started that book going on its trajectory upward.
Okay.
But, you know, again, who knows? We could find out in 3 months that Naomi is going to TV or whatever.
Yeah.
But nobody knows that now. So, like, what's causing this thing?
But that's what I was wondering. And I had this conversation the other day. And I'm like, I'm wondering, because somebody knew that, you know, there's going to be a, you know, a Hawkeye show or something. And maybe it leaked out and the books go, all it takes is one book to go up. And then somebody goes, okay, I'll get that. You know what I mean? And I was just wondering if there's like a little inside information. So somebody buys a book, makes it go up. And then that's what happened. Who knows about Naomi? It's like,
but it takes more than one person to do that. Like the Hawkeye, yeah. Kate Bishop thing was the geek community hive mind, you know, speculating on
right.
Endgame. Nobody's talking about Naomi for anything. So like
I'm
it takes more than one.
We're in the speculator's
but I'm just saying,
corner.
It takes, I know. Well, I'm responding, though. May I retort?
you
but
may.
But the thing is, there's no hive mind that's talking her up. Like, something's got to be causing this thing to go, you know, to be going through the roof, and I just don't know what it is. and nobody seems to. Everybody's buying it, but nobody really knows why. They're just buying it because people are telling them to buy it,
right?
Because it's hot. You know, again, I had phone calls for Naomi. I had people calling me yesterday wanting to reserve it for today. I had 10 calls today after I sold out of it for people looking for it. You know, and once again, this is a book that I ordered more number fours than I did of number threes, and still sold out.
I'll be honest,
before 10:30 today.
I read the first one. I really liked it. I read the second one. I liked it. I'm behind. I haven't read three and four yet. I don't think it's.
I mean, I don't love it either.
I've
read the first three. Right. Exactly. But I don't love it. Like, I don't. It's not that good.
Right.
You know, again, we'll throw up my other perennial favorite, The Immortal Hulk. That's good also.
There's our Immortal Hulk minute.
But it's not great.
Right.
Like, it's.
Right.
It's. I don't. But at least the Hulk's an established character. If nothing else. He's a character that's been around for 50 years, you know.
That might be it, too, though. Naomi might, because she's brand new, is that could and right. It's limited, so people are scooping it up. I don't know.
Right.
It's going to be a long night. We're only on the first one.
Yeah.
All right.
But anyways, yeah, that's, you know, that's one to grab if you can get a hold of it. You know, I don't know what stores are sitting on a bunch of copies at this point in the day, but... nobody in Houston has them, so hopefully you can find them. Next book is Major X issue number 2.
I got mine.
So this is a product solely of Marvel being a poor retail partner for their stores. I know. And I'm going to explain why, because this book was on FOC before number 1 came out. So how can you order number 2s without having any sales data for number 1s? So we all know what happened with issue 1. It sold out before release, and it went to second printing. If this had been on FOC the week after number 1 came out, I would have ordered twice the number of copies that I ordered, and so would every other store that exists today. But most books see a drop-off in sales from issue 1 to issue 2. So if I ordered 15 number 1s, I only ordered 10 of this one. And guess what? I sold out. It wasn't enough. And the same thing happened to every single store that exists, I would bet money. Because we didn't know. How you
right.
cannot order correctly with no data. And people don't have the money to blind order things.
Right.
So track records say that number 2s sell less than number 1s. And... 99% of the time, that's true. So I bet everybody ordered the same way. So this thing was selling for $6 to $10, some $12 books yesterday. It's probably going for more today. By the time number 3 comes out, we'll have caught up, and the demand should be, you know, it should stabilize some. But, you know, again, I'm not going to turn it into a bash Marvel session, but this happens more often than it should. And happening once is more often than it should, to be honest with you.
Right.
It should never happen. And all they do when
it's actually hurting Marvel, too.
Well, right. That's what I'm saying. All they're doing is hurting themselves. Because, yes, they'll put it to second printing, and they'll sell some second prints. But second printings aren't free. Like, it costs them money to go back to press.
Right.
So, logically, they would rather just go to press one time and print enough copies than have to go to press 2 or 3 times.
And you've probably lost a few impulse buyers, too, that are like, I can't get it now. Never mind.
Right. So the other thing that would have helped is if we had our second prints of number 1 available when number 2 hit the stand, because then we could have sold number 2s to the people that didn't get a chance to get the number 1s. So all these are coulda, woulda, shouldas. They didn't happen. But... this was a major X was a major cluster for Marvel. This could have gone a different way, and it didn't. So that being said, most stores have sold out, and it's climbing in price. Second print is already on order, so they'll be out there. If you want to read these books and you don't want to spend the money and you're not a collector, wait for the second prints of 1 and 2 to hit the stands and just go buy it.
Yeah.
If you're a collector... Good luck finding either one of these, Naomi or Major X, because it's going to be tough to find.
All right. So
the just to touch on the end of Major X real quick, if you're able to snap up the 1 in 25 variant, it's going for double ratio, so around $50 is the going rate on this. So again, it just goes back to, you know, like, I would have ordered 25 copies of this if I FOC'd it after number one.
Yeah, that's got to be a rare book.
Yeah, so I don't know a lot of stores that went super deep on it. And that's it. That's it for speculator books for this week. There weren't really a ton. Those are really the only two big ones.
All right.
So,
well, it looks like we have, four for back issue bonus?
I've got three.
Three of them?
Here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, so the first book is Carnage USA number one. So we got an announcement recently about Absolute Carnage coming this summer.
Yep.
So this is, you know, I'm sure just renewed interest in the wake of that announcement. Carnage is always a popular character anyways, but, you know, this event is going to be huge.
And that's supposed to be the second event of the summer, starting like August or something?
This is coming after War of the Realms is done.
War of the Realms is eventually going to end?
Yeah, well, the spinoffs might not, but the story is going to end eventually.
We'll get into more of that later.
Yeah. But yeah, so absolutely, our Carnage USA number one is going for about $30 right now. I would look at any Carnage really at this point for money potential. Again, just another little peek behind the curtain, but I picked up a small collection from a customer last week, and there were some money books in there that I knew, you know, were worth money, and then there was, you know, 30 other books or so that, you know, were just part of the pile that he brought in. And one of the books that was in the pile was a book called Carnage Born, and I did not consider this book at all when I made an offer to buy the collection. You know, I looked at the money books and I said, okay, this is what I'm going to offer you for the whole lot. And really, I looked at the Carnage book as just a throw in. That thing ended up being worth $60. I put it up on the wall and sold it in 2 days. So, so anything that has Carnage on it right now, I would pick it up if you can, because like I said, this is going to be a big event and Carnage is super popular. So,
All right.
Next book is Silencer issue 15. This is relatively new. It came out about 2 months ago. This is the first appearance of Smoke. I don't know why that's important. I don't know who Smoke is or what's happening with Smoke. But this book is selling for $15 to $20. So, again, this is another book that's going to be bolstered by very small print runs. I didn't even order number 15 because the series wasn't selling for me. And even issues like 10, 11, 12, and 13, or whatever the last few that I did order, I was only ordering one copy towards the end. So it's not a very popular series, and so I think that's part of the reason why, you know, the money's up there, because now people are trying to find it, and there's just not that many copies out there. And then Solar Man of the Atom, issue number 3 from Valiant Comics. This is the first appearance of Toyo Harada. Toyo Harada had a series that started about a month ago that nobody bought, so I don't know why this first appearance of this character is so hot, because nobody bought his series. I didn't sell any of it. I'm still sitting on it. But this book is selling for $30 to $60 online right now. So I don't know what's going on with this character, if they've got some other plans, something that I haven't heard of, but if you could find Solar Man of the Atom, I went looking through my dollar boxes to see if I had a copy of this, because that's probably where you're going to find it. Most early Valiant comics are sitting in dollar bins in a lot of stores, so if you can find this cheap, I'd go ahead and grab it, and I'd get as many copies as you can find, and then sell them right away, because I don't know if this has long-term potential for this character, but right now, if I could find 10 copies for $5 a piece, they'd be on eBay 10 minutes later. I wouldn't be holding on to them for the long term. And that's it for a back issue bonus. So pretty short speculator corner in all this week. Not a lot of movement on, you know, the back issue market that I could see. So,
all right. And moving into FOC.
Yeah, so starting with DC, we've got variant covers for Aquaman number 48 by Josh Middleton, Batman 71, Frank Cho, Nightwing number 60 is Warren Lau, and my pick for covers next week is Teen Titans number 30 from Alex Garner. That's an awesome cover. No new series from DC solicited for next week, so we're going to jump right down into Marvel. We've got a couple of Battle Lines variants. These are all Battle Lines variants. We've got Amazing Spider-Man 21, Immortal Hulk 17, and Guardians of the Galaxy number 5. My pick is that Guardians of the Galaxy number 5. Jong-Joo Kim is the artist. It's Gamora on the cover. And it looks awesome. Yeah, it looks really great. Another artist that I'm not familiar with, but I like his or her work. I don't know. But I hope to see more of it because that's a great cover. And then two new series from Marvel next week. We have Giant Man. This is a 3-issue miniseries. So issue number 1 has 3 covers. And War of the Realms, Strike Force War Avengers. So should we just stop now and talk about how ridiculous War of the Realms is getting with...
Let me get through my
FOC because I've only got one
left.
We'll
do our War of the Realms weekly update after recommended reading.
So, again, I think this is a one-shot. I don't think it's actually a series, but just another tie-in to War of the Realms. And multiple covers available. And then lastly, from Zenoscope Comics, we've got Robin Hood Outlaw number 4, A through G covers, plus incentives. So we know by now Zenoscope does 5-6 covers for just about every book.
Yeah, trying to find Robin Hood number 3. I read 1 and 2. I can't find 3 yet. The story hasn't...
I read 3 last night, or this week I read
Did
3.
You?
It's pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty good. I like it.
I didn't see it in the store today, so I'll have to grab that. Yeah. I really like that.
Yeah, so come in, pick the cover that you like, and get it ordered. And that's it for FOC this week. So again, pretty quick run through.
Did you see this week's Batman 69 cover variant? Was it Mateena?
Francesco Mateena,
I think it was another Mateena. I really like that so much that I... When I changed my orders, anytime it's a Mateena, I said, just give me that one.
Yeah, it's a beautiful cover.
Yeah.
It just didn't see a lot of, you know, the Mateena covers. By now, we figured them out. You know, stores know how many to order.
I didn't get one. They sold out of them, and I hadn't picked it. So usually they have a few, but, like, I got the last one. I haven't missed one yet. And then this week, they're like, oh, we sold out already. And I was there before the store opened. They just...
Really?
Yeah, they... Yeah. They only had enough of people that asked for them, so...
Yeah, I didn't sell out of this one yet. I've still got a few copies of this, but by and large, it shouldn't have that much trouble finding it, though.
Yeah.
Just because, like I said, people... By now, I know how many Mateena covers I'm going to sell. In general, you know, a better cover might still spike and sell more than normal, but... I know roughly how many copies to order. Same thing with the Archer variants. Like, I know more or less how many I'm going to sell, whether it's Batgirl or Wonder Woman or, you know, with Catwoman. It all ends up being about the same. You know, honestly, if we haven't figured it out by now, you know, he's done 12 covers for each one of those titles. You should have a pretty good idea what your base is on those. So I think the speculator potential on most of those is starting to drop. That doesn't mean they're selling less copies. It just means there's enough out there for everybody. So,
well, while we're talking about it, I know you said you hadn't read it yet. I loved it. It's very...
Yeah.
Again, another one I can't wait to talk to you about. Great wrap-up to the Nightmare series. My question to you, did you see a bump with the Nightmare series? A bump
No.
in... sales?
No, not really. I order the same. I've ordered... My Batman order hasn't fluctuated much in a year. I mean, I sold... It bumped a bit with the crossover, like the Flash crossover.
Oh, really?
But by and large, I order the same amount of copies every month, and it hasn't really changed up or down.
Oh,
it's pretty consistent.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, all right. Yeah, that was I can't wait to see 70, see how that goes, how they – it still kind of ends on a – you don't know how where it's going from here. It's,
right.
I mean, it's not resolved. You know the end, but it's not resolved on where it's going from here, though.
Right.
So, all right. Since we've already started recommended reading, let's do recommended reading.
All right. So my first book is Angel, issue number 0 from Boom Entertainment. So this is a book that's kind of like what Image did with Die, Die, Die about 6 months ago. This book never made it to previews, and we didn't know it existed until it showed up on our invoices a week ago. This is something that Boom put out. They sent us free copies. They were not ordered. They weren't in Diamond or previews to solicit. So it was kind of a surprise that these things came out. Now, Angel, of course, is in the Buffy the Vampire Slayer universe. You know, based on the TV show of the same name, of course. So, I talked about Buffy when it came out and my love for that show and this book. So, it's a no-brainer that I was going to read Angel when it came in. I will say that if you're planning on picking this up, I would buy and read Buffy number 4 first, if you care about spoilers for Buffy. Because this book picks up, and it actually tells you, as soon as you open it up, the first page says, if you haven't read Buffy number 4, spoilers ahead, go back and read Buffy number 4 first. So I actually did that. I went and read Buffy first, just so I could see it, and then I read Angel. So this book is, you know, again, it's very similar to the show. If you're familiar with Buffy and Angel, you know the character. You know, he's the vampire that, you know, is out there trying to do good. And this book kind of sets him up before he moves to Sunnyvale and, you know, is going to meet up with Buffy and all those characters. So I really liked it, being a fan of the show. And I'm curious, and I'm sure in a second you'll give me your take, because I know you're the opposite. You've never really watched Buffy or Angel or read any of those things. So
right.
I'm curious to get your take on it coming in cold. You know, I was already predisposed to liking it. So, you know, I don't know that it's great on its own. I was already going to like it. So, but here's what I'll say is that reading Buffy, I thought they've done a great job in that comic of, you know, capturing the feel and the likeness of those characters from the TV show. I didn't feel quite the same with Angel. The art wasn't quite there for me. Like, I didn't get David Boreanaz when I was watching or when I was reading this book, except for one scene where he kind of vampired out and he had his vampire face on, and that did kind of look a lot like the TV show. But otherwise, I didn't see the resemblance like I do in the Buffy show. And that wouldn't bother me so much if Buffy hadn't gone to the same lengths to make it look so much like the show. I feel like they should have taken that same thing to Angel. And I know they're different creative teams and things like that, but I think if you're building a Buffyverse based around the, you know, the Joss Whedon TV show, then I would have liked to seen the resemblance be a little bit closer. But all in all, I liked the book. I thought it set up the character well. Like I said, I thought it was good. So, you know, like I said, I want to kind of hear your take because, not knowing the characters at all, I mean, do you feel like it set him up well? Do you feel like you know what's going on?
I picked it up because I was like, oh, I thought it looked interesting. You know, I saw it on the shelf today in the second store that I was in, and I was like, oh, here's a new book. What is this? So I flipped through it, and I was like, oh, it looks pretty good. So I grabbed it. I'm not, like, blown away by it. I'm definitely going to read, number 1, because this was number 0.
Right.
But yeah, I never read Buffy, never followed Buffy, never watched the show. There's a lot of shows I didn't watch back when that started that just wasn't in my wheelhouse at the time. And that's why when you open it up and it says, you know, it gives you the spoiler alert and, you know, read Buffy 4, and I was like, I'm not going to pick that. I'm already into so many books anyways. So I figured I'd just read this, and it's definitely it. I like the story. Some pretty good action right before the end there. Makes you want to, you know where it's going after this, or where he's going. And right. Yeah, you're definitely intrigued. It definitely grabs you enough that you want to see the next one, and then we'll see where it goes from there.
Cool.
Yep. So.
All right. Did you have another book that you wanted to jump into? Or
yeah,
to...
I read. Yeah. I really like this. Really grabbed me. Star Wars TIE Fighter. Number one.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Well, I've seen it. I didn't. Yeah, I haven't read it.
So that one was. It's. You open it up. It looks like the opening scene of any of the movie. You know, all the movies start out with a big, you know, battle in space. You got TIE fighters everywhere. You got X-wings. The difference is in this, it's told from the perspective of TIE fighters, a TIE fighter squadron.
Right.
So they're like, you're reading some of the dialogue and they're like, you know, oh, good, we got them, but they just blew up an X-wing. So it's pretty good. It's actually really good. I can't wait for the second one, but it's also part of Star Wars Alphabet Squadron, which is going to be a novel that goes right along with it. I don't know if I'll read that because I started reading the excerpt from it. And I was like, oh, well, I don't know if I could read a novel like this, but I definitely want to follow. I thought it was interesting following along the TIE fighter and the pilots. There's some.
That's because novels don't have pictures. You can be honest.
That's the thing. I will be honest. I'm like, the excerpt didn't grab me, put it that way. And I don't know. Maybe if the novel has a nice cover and that grabs me.
Right.
It's like, hey, you never know. But
I'll get the book on tape.
I'm pretty sure they said that the novel actually follows the Alliance.
Oh, okay.
So it takes place right after the battle on Hoth. So they mention in the, you know, opening couple of pages how the war is going, the Empire is doing. You know, they won that battle on Hoth, and then a couple of the pilots later in the book comment on how the rebels are the enemy. They committed mass murder by destroying the Death Star. So it's right around that time of Empire. Yeah. It's very interesting. If you're a Star Wars fan, it's very interesting seeing the other side and seeing what these pilots are thinking.
Right. I was going to say, I love stories like this that give you that other perspective because, you know, I've mentioned it before and, you know, I'm certainly not the first person to ever say this, but, you know, everybody is the hero of their own story. Mm-hmm. So, the Empire don't consider themselves the bad guys.
Well,
they feel like they're just and that the rebels are the... you know, are the terrorists.
Correct.
So this is, you know, what they would be thinking. But you so often you don't get that story because we're all conditioned to, you know, see things from the good. You know, we always just want to see the heroes and
the
good guys.
Well, the good guys is the side that's on your side.
Right.
That's all. And it's like, now, don't get me
wrong.
But
not necessarily because if I grew up.
When you know Vader.
Like, right. But I mean, again, if I grew up, right, on XYZ planet, and I joined the army because I needed the GI Bill so I could go to college, and I became a stormtrooper, then I feel like I'm in the army, right? And I'm following orders, and I'm doing what I'm doing, and the other side, like, you know, let's say it's World War II, so all the Germans are the bad guys. But again, if I'm in Germany, and I grow up, and I join the army because I need to go to college, and I need money for the GI Bill, I don't think I'm the bad guy, so...
Right.
You know, it's all a matter of perspective. So...
Right.
But I don't know. I always like stories like this because you just never get that other
Well, that's
side
what,
of the coin.
That's what I'm waiting to see. It didn't happen in this book. What I was interested to see is there, like a propaganda,
right,
delivered to these normal pilots, similar to what you were saying about World War II, like the normal soldier, not an SS, but a normal soldier in the German army is just like, okay, this is what we're doing. He doesn't know the whole story. He's just knows, like, I've got to be on this base and there's the bad guys over there. But,
well, you just wonder, you know, again, we know in World War II, from our perspective, you know, you would go to the movies and at the beginning of the movie, you would see like the footage from World War II and our soldiers are doing this.
Right. This is what we heard. Let's just not date ourselves that we were there watching movies during World War II.
Right. But you just wonder if the kids in Germany are going to the movies and they're getting the same thing, you know?
Yeah, they're getting that. Yeah, of course.
So,
I remember learning that in history, like that, learning about the meaning of propaganda and what both sides were doing. But so I was kind of interested, and I'm hoping there's more that they elaborate on stuff like that in the future books, but it definitely is something that, I'm going to add that to my pull list because it was a lot of fun seeing the other side. And that's why I grabbed it off the shelf. You're like, TIE fighter. That's pretty cool.
Right. This is where this show costs you money because you have to keep picking up new books to talk about.
I know.
And then, if you weren't doing this show, you might not be picking up so many new number ones all the time.
Well, I'll be honest. I wouldn't have picked up Angel, but I definitely would have picked up TIE fighter.
Well, yeah, it's Star Wars. So,
but
would you have picked up Rise or, you said, you know, there's books that you're buying now because you want to talk about
them. I've also been exposed to books that I wouldn't have bought in the past that I really think, and I hope it's working for our listeners too. As a matter of fact, I know it is because we're getting comments, but I haven't read before, genres I haven't read before, and that I really, really enjoy.
Right. Like I said, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but I bet money you would never have picked up Morning in America or Rise or Angel or, so many of the books that you've picked up.
Right.
Because of this show. So.
Yeah. Oh, it's working for me.
Yeah.
So. And all right. Your next one?
Yep. So from Aftershock Comics, we have Mary Shelley Monster Hunter, issue number one. I didn't talk about the creative team for Angel, and I'm not going to go back and do it now, but this book was written by Adam Glass and art by Olivia Cortero Briggs. So, I don't know, that last name of yours?
Hard. That last name was hard for you to pronounce, huh?
Yeah.
Briggs.
artist that I'm not very familiar with. So, this book takes, obviously Mary Shelley wrote Frankenstein. back when she was just a young girl, 19 years old, she wrote Frankenstein, that stood the test of time for 100 years. But this book it opens up with a scene from Frankenstein. Like, you think it's going to be about the monster, because that's how the book opens. And it opens with the scene from the movie where he, runs into the little girl at the kind of the bank of the lake, and she's throwing flowers into the lake and talking about how they float, and the monster thinks, pretty things should be floating in the river, so he picks the little girl up and chunks her in the river. And so you think that's what the book is going to be about, and then you realize it's not. It cuts to like a classroom, and it's just a bunch of kids watching this on the movie, and they're it's being taught to them. So it kind of takes you back to present day, and they're talking it seems like it's a class, but it's also it's taking place in her home where she died, where she lived and died, because they end up touring through the house afterwards. So it was a little weird. Like, at first I thought they were a classroom, but then they're walking through this house. But anyway, she's talking about how there's a hidden manuscript that Mary Shelley had that nobody's ever been able to find. And of course, through a very convenient circumstance, they stumble upon the manuscript than on the next page. And but that sets up really what this book is about. So it ends up being like Mary Shelley's lost diary, and you find out that Frankenstein was a true event. Like, this happened to her. It wasn't, Frankenstein wasn't a work of fiction that she made up. It ends up being based on events that she experienced, and that's kind of where the book goes. So it starts to tell this story of her and, you know, all these writers that she was hanging out with, and you know, how they end up in Castle Frankenstein, and you know all these weird things start happening. And you know, you don't get too much further into it because it's only the first issue. But I really liked it. I thought it was really well written. I thought it was very entertaining. Once again, the art wasn't really there for me. Like, I thought the art was lacking somewhat with this. But I really enjoyed the story, and definitely looking forward to reading the next issue. So I thought it was pretty cool. Definitely a different take on, you know, her legacy. So
cool. Sounds good. It's another one I'm going to have to pick up.
Yeah, like I said, it was pretty cool.
I picked up that, what was it, that adult one you told me about last week.
Faithless?
Yeah.
Well, it was pretty adult, but you saw what I was saying on the last page?
Like,
It really, but that's where it kind of grabbed you for the next issue.
Yes.
Because it was just a mediocre book, like I mentioned it last week. It wasn't super great all the way through, but that was enough to kind of be like, oh, well, that was interesting. So,
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these books are like that, though. Yeah. You know, you kind of like, I don't want to say slog through, but they're not all really fast reads. And then when you get to the end, you're like, oh, you got me.
Well, and so, then a lot of these first, you know, obviously a lot of these first issues are set up because you don't know the characters, and you don't really know what's going on. So it feels, it's not like you're picking up a new number one issue of Spider-Man, but, you know, we already know Spider-Man, and you know, you don't have to set them up as much as you do with a lot of these independent books. So,
right.
But they all end up feeling like, you know, origin movies at first, where you just have a lot of setup, and then you get a little bit of payoff at the end to bring you back to the next issue. So,
yeah.
Some of them just do it better than others.
Yeah. All right. So, you ready for our War of the Realms update?
Sure.
I wish I had music for that. It's like,
yeah.
Flip the book pages, I guess. I don't know.
yeah.
All right. So if you're reading War of the Realms, obviously you need to pick up number two. That's right. The main number two came out this week. Good. I'm really enjoying it. This one wasn't as funny as the first one. It had some funny scenes in it, but it's really starting to, it's really starting to round out into the story that we're getting, and it's have you read it yet? Have you read it?
No.
Or looked at it? Okay. Yeah, it's just really starting to round out into the story, and when you read this, you'll see there's little things in here that pertain to the other two that came out today, which are War of the Realms, The Punisher, which I believe is a one-off. Did that end as of the end, I believe?
Thought that was ongoing.
Nope, that's to be continued. Yeah. But I'll be honest with you, I liked it. If you like The Punisher, pick up the book. I really don't think the story is going to be that critical to the rest of the War of the Realms. Of the three books this week, if I was to recommend that you, I would say obviously you got to read two, because if you're reading one,
right?
And War of the Scrolls. War of the Realms War Scrolls is actually, I think it's three or four different stories. There's like four mini stories. Two of them are ongoing. One's about Daredevil, says right on the cover, featuring a new Daredevil story, which is really interesting that at the end it tells you War of the Realms 3, they'll tell you more about this Daredevil. So that's definitely, that book is definitely worth picking up. And there's a couple of stories in here. They're short, so it's no loss, but they're just one-off stories. And then I think there's one more, continued story in here. Nope. No, there's actually, it's, Yeah, so then there's the last one. Yeah, so the only story, ongoing story, will be the Daredevil story in that. But the other stories are pretty interesting. One's a eh, and then the other two are pretty good.
Well, like so. I said, I think they all end up being... I'm not saying they're not fun reads, but most of them end up not being super relevant to the...
Right.
Like, I read... I went back and read Journey into Mystery from last week, and it was fun, and, you know, definitely worth the read, but it's not going to be make or break to the War of the Realms story.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's an important part of the story overall. And most of these end up being that way. And like I said, that doesn't diminish their viability as being good books, because I really enjoyed Journey into Mystery, actually. But I don't think it's necessary to the story of War of the Realms. And I think for the most part, I think they're all, you know, they all end up being that way.
Well, I thought Journey, I thought that one would be, I think that one is going to be a pretty big part of the whole thing. Like, you know what I'm talking about. You can see how it pertains to the main story. It's very evident. The Punisher one is really, literally, I could give out a pretty big spoiler, but it's really just an offshoot of, it's a really small story. If anybody wants to know what it is, you can email me or direct message me on Twitter, and I'll give you a little bit more if you want to read it. But it's really not necessary. I know for a fact that if you didn't read it, you wouldn't miss anything from the main story.
Right.
I really felt like the other ones so far, they were all pretty, they seem pretty important so far. So that's the War of the Realms for this week. Like I said, definitely number two you got to pick up, and I would pick up War Scrolls.
Okay.
And the Punisher's optional. The other one I read this week was, I read Major X 2, and I didn't like it as much as I liked the first one, but that doesn't mean it was bad, because I loved the first one.
Right.
This one seemed a little bit more story, setting up the story. It's a little slower, not as much action, not as much humor. It just seems to be building more. But I think, what did you say, this is only a five story arc?
Five or six,
yeah. Something like that.
Yeah, might be
so,
six.
Obviously, I'll definitely be following it all the way through. So it was still pretty good. And that's, I believe, about it for this week.
Okay.
All right, so we have one more segment to add to this week. We have question of the week.
Oh, all right.
So
this is new. Another surprise for me. Yay.
Well, you know the question, because we've already answered it to Dr. Joe, but I figured we'd put it out to everybody, because if anybody has questions like this, they can, you know, contact us like Dr. Joe. So I'll read the question. I sent it to you the other day. Dr. Joe says, direct message me. He says, "Morning, Chief. Had a random question, but I've got an original Conan the Barbarian number one, which I bought at a yard sale. Funny story that I'll tell you about sometime. And I was just curious if you'd know what it's worth. I've got no plans selling it or anything. Hope all is well." So I sent you that, and then you came back with the depends on condition, really. Could be 15 to could be $100. Is it actually... And it actually is an original Conan number one.
Right.
So do you want to elaborate on that? And then if you miss anything, I also talked to the other store today.
Well, what's the question
today?
What do you want me to
elaborate? What would it be worth? What do you think it would be worth?
Based on the picture that he sent me?
Yeah.
Just give
the answer that you gave before, just so that the other, he already knows, but just the listeners will know.
Well, I don't know why this is relevant to all the other listeners that don't have the book, but
well,
I think the thing is, what's more important is the process of how I came
exactly
to the answer.
That's
I can just say $80, but that doesn't mean anything to anybody.
Right.
The thing is, and you know, cause I get this question a lot, and, you know, and not to take anything away from Dr. Joe, and I'm really not saying this to try to make him feel bad in any way, but all I do when people ask me this question is pull up eBay and I look, because I don't have an encyclopedic knowledge of
right.
Of all these comic books. So I would say anybody can answer this question all on their own if they just go to eBay and they pull it up and they
right.
and they look it up. But with that being said, there wasn't enough information in the original question, because so many people would pick up the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie adaptation issue number one and
right.
think they have Conan the Barbarian number one. So the first thing is to determine what book you're actually looking at. Is it Conan number one from 1970, whatever?
Yeah.
And then what's the condition? Because condition dictates the value of a book. It turned out to be the first issue of Conan, and so it, you know, it is a, you know, a kind of a sought after book. But condition, you know, it could be, you know, the cover falling off and have pages ripped and missing and be worth $5, even though it's a 40-year-old book. Or it could be in perfect condition and be worth $100, $120 or what have you. So it's near impossible to answer a question like that without having some more information. So I would say, you know, if you're trying to determine the value of a book that you have, the number one is to really make sure what book you have yep. and you're trying to find the value of.
Right.
And then what's the condition of it? Now, I don't expect everybody to be a professional grader. I've been looking and reading comics for my entire adult life, or really more than my adult life, and I'm not a professional grader by any means. But I can give a rough idea of whether something's in good condition or mint condition. And that can take, you know, any book from $5 to $100, just depending on condition. So you want to get, you know, and there's things you can go, again, you can Google comic book grading guides or things like that, and it'll give you a rough idea of what you should be looking at in each grade for a comic book. And then, you know, that'll help you kind of narrow down what, you know, what really you're looking at. So I don't know if that answers your question, but that's kind of my thought process when I get asked that question.
Yep. And that's exactly when I went to Friendly Neighborhood, I showed them the picture that he sent us, and they said the same thing. They're like, yep, that's the number one. They elaborated on a little bit more about the process of getting it graded. So,
well, yeah, that's completely different.
Yeah, and they said that could add value to it if it. They said it looks like it's in pretty good shape for a 40-year-old book.
Right.
Obviously, we don't know. He's got it in a really nice case there, so you don't know if you know.
Right,
you
it could be missing the whole back cover.
Right, so. Exactly. You don't know that, but the process of getting something graded is like, I think, for a book that old, I think it's 1975 and newer, is like, I want to say they said it's like $17 to get graded, but anything from, and I might be wrong in these numbers, but I know it's more, this is more expensive because it's older. So this, I think, starts at like $23. And
it's going
to
end up being, it's going to end up being $40.
Yeah, the shipping in both directions and yeah. everything like that could be, well, the numbers they were giving me, if you wanted to hurry, it could take up to 3 months to get the book back.
Unless you want to expedite it, then
and
it's going to be
And then
more.
That costs more. Right, so you're up into the $50, $60 range possibly.
The average price for a book under $300 in value is $40.
Okay.
I send off books all the time.
Okay, cool.
Right, because you have to pay. You know, you could go to CGC's website and you can see their rates and it looks like $17, but you have to pay for insured shipping there, you have to pay for insured
right.
shipping back, and you have to pay them a $5 handling fee for every book. So it ends up being $40.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, a little bit more information on that.
Right.
He doesn't plan on selling it. I don't think.
Right.
They were saying it could be up to $200. They,
again, depending on
right,
yeah, depending on condition, and if it was graded, because like you said, if it gets graded and comes back at a high grade, that could double the value of it of a raw copy, just because.
Well, even if it comes back with a lower grade, it's gonna. They were saying like,
well,
it's gonna up the
value
of what it was. Okay,
right.
So like where you don't know anything, say right. it's worth at knowing nothing, it's only worth $40. But if you get it graded, that $40 value is going to go up. So you most likely you're going to get your money's worth out of getting it graded. But that's only if you really want to sell it. I wouldn't, you know, if he doesn't, he has no intentions on selling it. He told me
right,
the story
but,
on
but
how
but getting
he got
it graded
it, so.
Does more than just getting it graded. And I am not a fan of grading comics. I'll just get it out there right now. I hate the whole idea and the whole process of it because I don't feel like a comic book should be hermetically sealed. I feel like they're made to be
right.
read and enjoyed.
Enjoyed.
But whether you're planning on selling it or not, getting it graded does lock in the protection. I mean, it protects the book forever. I mean,
right.
it's going to be basically sealed in plastic. It can go through a flood. You know, I mean, it's going to be protected, and it's going to stay the same grade. It's never going to change. It's never going to get accidentally dropped or ripped or anything. So there is something to be said for it. I just don't feel like books are like pictures to be hung on a wall. Like, I don't think this should just be looked at and never enjoyed. So
right.
I'm not a fan of the process, but I can understand why it exists and where people are coming from. But it like I said, it takes the guesswork out of it because now
right.
you're not like, is it a 4.2 or a 4? You know.
Right.
I mean, you know what the grade of the book is. But on the flip side, I have actually seen books ungraded sell for higher than graded prices because of the speculation of what it might be versus, you know, what it actually is. Because once it's graded, there's no guesswork anymore.
Right.
It's never going to be a 9.8. It's always right. going to be that 9.2.
Right.
But if I look at one and it looks really good, you might sell it for more just because the person buying it is going to think, well, maybe I can get a 9.8 out of this, you know?
Right.
I've seen books on eBay sell for way more than they should because I think for that reason, because people are guessing on what the grade is going to be.
Right.
Versus, like I said, once it's done, there's no guesswork involved. So.
All right. So, see? Wasn't that fun?
It was. Awesome.
New segment. We need more questions.
There you go.
All right. Thanks, Dr.
Send us
Joe.
Questions.
All righty. So, are you ready to get into some Endgame preview talk?
I'm as ready as I'm going to be.
All right. There's the music. Whee! So, what are your expectations? And don't tell me you don't have any. This has only been 21 movies building.
Yeah.
I'm hitting you with the hard questions first.
Well, here's the thing is, I don't know necessarily what my expectation is. I can tell you what my hope is. My hope is to not be disappointed. Because here's the thing, right? I feel like if I walk out of that theater and I don't say to myself, that was the best Marvel movie I've ever seen, I'm going to be somewhat disappointed. Because the hype has built it to be that. And I just hope it actually ends up being that. Like, I feel like it's going to have – it could be a great movie, and I know it's going to be a great movie. But I feel like it already has giant shoes to fill.
Oh, yeah.
And it's reaching – it already is reaching so high that I almost feel like it's next to impossible for it to live up to what we all hope it's going to be. So I just really hope to not be let down too much, because I feel like we are going to be let down somewhat no matter what we get.
Are you nervous?
I don't know if I would say I'm nervous because, you know, honestly, it's not like surgery or anything, you know.
No, but
it's not going to affect my life one way or the
nervous?
Other once I get
no.
out of it. But,
right.
but yeah, I am. Like, I'm all just right. a little tentative because I'm just really hoping to not be
right. But okay,
let down,
so
you know?
Look, I'll give you an analogy. When one of your favorite sports teams is going for a championship, you get those butterflies before the game.
Right.
Do you have that?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I'm very much anticipating it. Like, I am now counting down the
coming.
Days.
You don't have
you know?
To.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, I'm really, you know, like, it's starting to get, it's starting to ramp up. You know, like I said,
right.
to go back to your analogy, it's the night before the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? It's like.
Yeah.
You know, I am starting to get anxious, and I'm really looking forward to it. But again, I feel like that also pays into a little bit of my trepidations because I just think it has so much expectations and so much riding on it that it's going to be hard to really live up to the hype that we have built up for ourselves.
So I was nervous for Infinity War.
I wasn't, so you and I
are reversed here.
Yeah.
So I was nervous for Infinity War because I was like, I don't want this to flop. I mean, you didn't. I'm feeling it now for Infinity War, like how I felt. And it was nerve-wracking. You didn't know what was going to come. I didn't want it to flop. For this one, I'm not nervous at all. I'm really looking forward to it. I know I'm going to like it.
Well, right. I'm going to like it too. But...
And I have no expectations on the movie itself. I know they're going to surprise me. I'm almost done now with Avengers Forever. Loving it. We'll talk about that after the movie if it came true. Right. But I'm just really enjoying this ride. And I think the biggest part at the end of all of this, do you feel, I think there's going to be that, that lull, that null at the void afterwards of it's over.
Well, I don't know why, because we have Disney Plus and we're going to get to see all these characters again on the small screen.
But,
so
no, yeah, it's, but I mean, you know what I mean? Like, no, I mean, what we have Spider-Man coming, but it's, do you know what I mean? Like that void afterwards, like, okay, it's all over. Right. Or I think that they're going to end this in such a way that you're going to walk out of there wanting to run through a wall. I don't know why. I have no expectations of that. I just feel like that's something that they could pull off. And I think it's something that we wouldn't expect. But somehow, some way, we're going to walk out of there and be like, that was, you know what I mean? Like, you're going to want to run through a wall.
I mean, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Like,
I don't know what you're getting at.
Charged up. Because you want to bang your head into a wall.
Yeah.
No. You know what I mean? Like, charged up, excited, happy. Yeah. Like, yeah, and you're going to want to, you'd be like, it's just really excited for it. And
I don't know if we're going to be happy. Because I don't get the feeling that it's going to be a happy ending. It might be a satisfying ending, but I don't think we're going to walk out of it like, you know, on a super high. Like that, you know, all these great things happen.
I do. I do. I think
you know.
I think we may lose some characters in one way, in a comic book way. I don't think they'll be gone forever. I think we're going to lose some characters in a comic book way.
We might lose them in a comic book movie actor type of way. Like, we might not see Captain America, might not be dead forever, but it might be the last time we ever see Chris Evans as Captain America.
Well, might not be. Who knows? But what I mean is I think we're going to get that scene. We're going to get that, you know, Spider-Man, Peter Parker to Tony Stark, I don't feel right. We're going to get that scene probably a couple of times, and it's going to really tear at us. But I think I don't think that's how they're going to end the movie. That's how they ended Endgame. I mean, I'm sorry, Infinity War. That's going to come earlier in the movie. There's going to be more of that, and it's really going to bring us down. And then I think it's going to build us back up, and that's what I mean. They're going to bring us to such a low that it's going to be almost like there'll be some tears shed. And then at the end of the movie, you're going to walk out of there and be like supercharged. I don't know.
I feel different, but we'll see.
Yeah. You know, no, we'll I know.
See. Yeah. I don't think I don't feel like we're going to get that type of super happy ending. I think it's going to be kind of a downer. But satisfying. You know what I mean? Well, you know what?
This is probably the most anticipated movie in decades. And I'm just picturing like my version. This is you and I in a nutshell. Your version is everybody's walking out going, yeah, that was really good.
No, the thing is, why does a good movie have to have a happy ending? Like, a good movie doesn't mean it's a bad movie if it doesn't have a super happy ending.
No, Rocky didn't win in the first Rocky.
I feel that was a
satisfying ending.
I feel like it will be very satisfying. I just don't know that it's going to be super, you know,
right,
roses and sunshine. I don't think we're going to get that.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying to think that way is wrong. Like I just said, Rocky's a perfect example. He lost, but it was still a very satisfying ending. But it wasn't an ending where you were like, yeah, he overcome, he did it. And it's like, but I'm just saying, I think it's funny that your perception, your expectations right now are the exact opposite of mine.
Right.
Your expectations are people are going to walk out of there like they just had Thanksgiving dinner, very satisfied, slow, like, oh, that was good. And mine are like, mine's the exact opposite. People are going to be running through the glass doors out of the theater like, that was awesome.
Because so it was Easter and they ate their entire Easter basket full right. of candy?
Yeah. Yours okay. are going out like.
So it's just timing, really.
And
it's
mine's like, going out on like sugar just, high.
We're just at different times of the year. You know, I'm in Thanksgiving right. and you're in Easter.
And,
so.
And we happen to be at Easter. So, yeah. But no, I just, that's funny. That's just me and you.
I'll tell you what I don't like. I have zero expectations of what I want to see content wise. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, I really don't care what they show us. I just know how I want to feel when it's over.
I want to see superheroes.
Right. But like, I have no expectations of what they're going to show us. Like, I don't think they have to. Certain characters have to end up in a certain place for me to be satisfied. Like, I don't have any ideas what's going to happen. I have no real preconceived notions on what the story is going to be.
All right. Well,
and I don't really care. Like, I just hope that I feel the way I want to feel when it's over. Whereas, you know, it's different for other things. Like, for instance, you know, we got the trailer for Star Wars 9. And I do have things, like, there's things that I want to see story-wise for them to wrap up that saga. But I don't feel the same way for this. Like,
yeah,
I just want
Jar Jar?
It to be, yeah, right. I Jar Jar has to be the, end up being Snoke or something, right? So, but you know what I'm saying? Like, there's things that I want to see out of that movie. Whereas on this one, I don't necessarily have that. Like, checklist in my mind of things that I feel like have to happen. I just know that I want it to end with a satisfying ending, you know? I don't know how to explain it. I don't know if explained it right, but.
No, that sounds good. It sounds right. With that, I know you don't have any expectations. As a guess, who do you think is going to die? Who do you think is going to comic book die?
I think Loki is dead for sure. I don't think Tony will die. I do think I think Captain America will die.
Yes.
I mean, you know, obviously there's the givens, right? We know for a fact that Black Panther and Spider-Man are coming back because right. they have sequels. Ant-Man will be back. I feel like they won't get rid of Ant-Man because I don't think they're done with him.
Well, we know he's back. He's in all the trailers.
Well, but I mean, for good.
You mean, like, oh, yeah, all right, you know, at the end of the movie.
Yeah, at the end of the movie.
All right, sorry.
I think Vision stays gone. Like, I don't think Vision comes back. Although, I don't know, is an android, can an android die, you know?
No.
I guess they could just put him back together, but...
Right.
But there's no stone, you know, there's no Infinity Stone to power him, so... I think Gamora's gone for sure. But those are all, you know, those are all ones that we've kind of seen already in Infinity War.
So
I just don't think they're coming back.
Gamora's
the only new,
gone, so she's not in Guardians 3.
I don't think so. I think you can go without her.
I think everybody comes back except for Cap. I think Cap. I think Cap sacrifices himself. I have guesses on how, but I think others will have been, retired in other ways.
I don't know where, I don't know what the timeline of the Loki show is for Disney Plus. You know, we're kind of being told it's young Loki.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking it takes place prior to, because otherwise that's a given. Too, right? Like, you know, he comes back if he's going to have a show on Disney Plus, but I think it's a prequel type of show,
right?
For him,
they could even have Tom Hiddleston do his little guest appearance at the beginning, where or almost like a young Sheldon,
right? And that's kind of what I'm expecting it to be,
right? Yeah, I think we said that before.
We did.
I think we used the young Sheldon reference.
Yeah, we did.
But let's try to stay on.
I don't know. Like, I feel like. I feel like Cap being the only one to die isn't satisfying to me. Like, this is a big stake.
You want to mow them all down?
But this is big stakes. Like, there has to be more.
I'm starting to see why you're going to be a little bit less excited when you leave the theater than I will.
I just feel like there has to be more lasting fallout than just one guy. You know, like, this is a big stakes event that's happening, right? Like, in a war, you know, one guy doesn't die. Right, you don't just get one soldier killed in a war. You know, there's casualties, there's fallout, and I think there has to be fallout for it to have weight and for it to be. Otherwise, it was just another movie. You know, that like everybody just came back at the end and nothing happened. You know,
a lot of people are like, if they do something like that where they just reverse everything back, and you're like, oh, this never happened. Like, what if you did something crazy, like they went back in time and took the Tesseract out of the ocean?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I don't want to see. Like, I don't want it to end up just being want it to be Superman flying backwards around the Earth, you know, so that nothing bad happens to Lois and Jimmy. You know, like,
actually, if that actually happens, that'd be interesting.
Well, that'd be awesome. Because,
crossover.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, I don't want it to just end up being a time travel story where they just undo everything and, you know, it ends up just not happening. I don't want that. So, and I don't think they're not stupid. I don't think that's going to be what it is, because these guys are smart enough to know that that won't be satisfying for everybody.
Right.
They're not going to deliver that.
There is going to be time travel involved.
Well, I would say for sure. You know, you've got time stones. So,
right. I mean, and in the Avengers Forever, there's a version of time travel that we'll talk about after the movie.
Well, you've already talked about it.
Did we say what it is? Did I tell you what it was?
Yeah, we've talked about it on the show.
I didn't think I said what it was, though.
Well, maybe we talked about it after the show. I don't know.
Yeah.
Our nights all run together, but...
Exactly. But it's a really interesting version of time travel. So it's... And it's in all the trailers.
Right.
It's evident in all the trailers. So, it's a way that multiple characters could die and multiple characters could also not die. And it could happen in a way that you won't feel it's hokey. I don't think. You won't feel like, oh, that's, you know.
And I kind of feel like that's jumping the shark a little bit, because that's having my cake and eating it too. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want Captain America from Earth 2782 to die and feel like Captain America died. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it has to be the ones that we're familiar with. It has to be the characters that we've basically lived with for 21 movies. You know, I just don't want alternate version Captain America to sacrifice himself so that, you know, Chris Evans can go on.
Well, that's why I think it's... I think we're going to lose a character or two for real. Right. But we'll see. Where do you think this will land as a ranking in the MCU? Out of the 22, where do you think it's going to land?
Are you talking about my personal enjoyment, or like money wise, or
no, your personal ranking? Like, if you had to rank them, I'm sure you have like a top five right now. Does it make your? Are you obviously you're probably expecting it to make your top five?
I'm expecting it to be top three for sure, if not number one.
Right.
It's just hard to say. But I expect my expectation is that it's going to be up there and probably my favorite Marvel movie. Whether it becomes that, I don't. You know, obviously we can't know until we see it. But that's my thought going into it. But again, that's where it, you know, to go back to what I said, that's where it builds into some of my
fears,
my nervousness a little bit.
Right.
Because I have that expectation that it's going to be my number one favorite Marvel movie. And I feel like if it doesn't become that, it's somewhat of a letdown. Now, granted, if it ends up in my top three, that's still not a, you know, that's still nothing to sneeze at, and it's not a letdown by any means. But, I feel like it's going to be top three for sure.
So, all right. Now, the reason I ask that is, if it's not one or two, and I would guess that you have Infinity War as one, or pretty close.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Well, yeah, for sure. It's in my top three. You know, like my mood could change from day to day depending on.
Right.
But I mean, it's definitely it's top three for me too. And like, I don't know that I could separate the two. Like, I feel like it, they both become co number one or number two.
Right.
Like they're tied together.
That's
so.
A good point. So you kind of got to take them as a whole.
Right.
But if this doesn't live up, I'm saying like. If this ends up at like four or five, I feel like that's the kind of pressure it's under, because if it's not one or two, it's a failure.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because it's like the expectations are so high. And if you already have Infinity War at one or two and this falls to like four, what does that drop the two of them to? You know what
right.
And you're going to be like, oh, what the heck? You should have just ended last year.
But again, it's very subjective, because you know, like if I'm in a goofy mood and you know I want to laugh, then Guardians of the Galaxy is my number one Marvel movie, you know. But if I'm in like a more serious mood and then Winter Soldier is my favorite, you know. It really can kind of depend. Like there's three or four of them that could be number one at any given day or time, depending on how I you know what my mood is when I'm watching it. But
my thing is so. Infinity War is probably my favorite movie, but I do like Avengers, the first one, because it's the first one. I like the story.
Right.
And it just really, really plays well to me, and it's shorter.
Right.
Does the 3-hour time... don't get me wrong. Next Thursday night, I'm seeing it twice Thursday night, so I got 6 hours invested in Thursday night, and I couldn't be more excited.
Right.
But rewatchability. How many times are you going to throw that disc in to sit down and watch it? You know what I'm saying? Like, this could be one of our favorite movies of all time, but you're going to be like, all right, I just don't have the time to watch it again.
Well, I don't know. I feel like I'll enjoy it more at home than I ever do in the theater, because I can pause it and go to the bathroom. Like, 3 hours for me is a long damn time. You know, I'm 50 years old. I can't go 3 hours without having to get up and go to the bathroom. So
you just turned 49. I'm about to. Don't turn us 50 yet.
Yeah.
Let's earn that.
I am sliding much further down the hill towards 50 than I am climbing up to 49. So, but you know what I'm saying? You know, again, it's just, well, like anything, you know, I love the Lord of the Rings trilogy. I think it's awesome up there in my top five movies of all time. But yeah, it's tough to sit down and carve out three and a half hours to watch a movie.
But it's an event. But when you do. Right. I love it. There's nothing like it. But I can't watch. But like, that's a great example. I think those movies. Now here's the funny thing: do I put those above like an Avengers, the Avengers movie? I can watch the Avengers movie over and over and over because it's shorter. It's 2 hours, whatever it is, just over 2 hours, and you know you can bang that out. But at the same time, I don't watch any of the Lord of the Rings movies. But when I do. That's an event,
right.
You know, and we usually do it right around Christmas time. It's not a Christmas movie, but
you sure? Because there's brightly colored lights in there somewhere.
And there's snow.
And there's trees. So I feel like by your definition, it's a Christmas movie.
They give them gifts.
Right. I mean, somebody gets a ring. I don't know. Is it a wedding story? I don't know. But
you know what I mean? It's an exciting thing. It's like I'll usually sit down with like my kids and be like, hey, do you want to do Lord of the Rings this week? And we're like, yeah, and we'll do like one night after the next and we'll sit down and we do the extended versions and it's an event. But I'll just be like, oh, it's a rainy day. I got nothing to do. Ah, let's throw Avengers in. And I'll watch that like 10 times in a year. You know what I mean? So which is better? Where do you think this is going to fall?
See, I don't do that with anything. Like, I'm not like you in that. So, like, I don't rewatch anything over and over like that. Like, I haven't watched Avengers 10 times, period.
Oh.
Never mind 10 times in a year. Like you said, I haven't seen – you said you've seen the last couple of months. I haven't seen it in 5 years.
Probably 6 months, yeah.
You know? But – so I think we're different that way, but
– yeah.
And the same thing, like you're right, like Lord of the Rings, if I was to plan to watch it and get the DVD, or well, not the DVD, get the Blu-ray out or whatever and make an event of it. Yeah, I might only do that once a year or even less, but at any point in the movie, if I'm scrolling through HBO or something and it's on, I will stop and watch it from that point to the end.
Right.
Whether it's 2 minutes in or 2 hours in, it doesn't matter to me. So, I mean, I do like it that much. So I don't know how we got kind of on that.
Oh, that's fine.
Ranking one or the other, but you know, I have
where it ranks.
I have an unpopular opinion in that I actually like the Lord of the Rings movies more than most Marvel movies. I love those movies. So
I don't think that's unpopular. Yeah. I just think there's only three of them. They're epic.
Well, six. I guess if you count the Hobbit that they turned a 200 page book into 9 hours worth of movies. But
right.
But I don't regard those as highly as the Lord of the Rings either. Like they're
Look at Umbrella Academy. They turned that book into 8 episodes or whatever. And
I mean the Hobbit movies are fine, and I like them, but I don't regard them in the same way that I do the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Yeah,
I think
crazy
those are
about the
very
Hobbit
very
movies.
Very well done. And I know a lot of people give them flack. You know, there's too much walking and a lot of downtime. But I don't know. To me, they're damn near perfect movies.
Can't
like
they
I
ride
I like
a
them
dragon.
Like, yeah, right. Oh, so much walking, too much walking. Blah blah blah. Well, I don't know. Yeah. They talked while they were at it, so it was entertaining to me. But, you know, again, that's neither here nor there. So, to go back to your question, even if Endgame was only 2 hours, I wouldn't watch it once a month anyways. I just don't watch movies that way.
I just was wondering if you consider rewatchability in your ranking.
Well, I don't factor the time. I don't factor the running time into my rewatchability at all. Whether it factors into my ranking, yeah, of course, because obviously if I don't feel like I ever want to watch it again, then it can't be in my top three movies.
Right.
So I think you know, watchability definitely plays into the ranking, but I don't consider the runtime at all to be a factor in that. For the most part, if I can carve out 2 hours and 20 minutes, I can carve out 3 hours, you know, I mean, it's like watching another sitcom, you know? So,
right. Yeah. So, all right. Do you expect any new characters?
No.
None.
I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think so. I can't think of, I mean, the obvious addition would be Adam Warlock. You know, and he has been teased at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy. But I just don't feel like we'll see him. I don't think this is the movie to introduce us to new characters. Like, this is the culmination of the characters that we've come to know, and I don't expect to see any new characters. Obviously could be wrong, but I don't think so. You obviously think a little differently, so what do you think? Who do you think we might see?
Well, I don't know. I thought it would be a good opportunity, a great surprise. They're talking about, you know, don't spoil it for other people. Obviously, you don't want to spoil the ending. But I think there's going to be a new character introduced that will play a bigger part in the future. You know what I mean? Kind of tying that into the... Obviously, we had Captain Marvel. That's part of the future.
Well... I had an interesting conversation today at the store, and I don't know that I go along with this guy necessarily, but what if Thanos is not the main villain of this movie?
Well, that's, what is it, Galactus?
Maybe. Well, and that's what we kind of went to, you know, the speculation right. then became, who that's could it be? But yes. there's a line of thinking that says, why go back after Thanos at all? Like, he's not looking to do anything else. Like, he's done. Thanos has done what he wanted to do, and now he's retired, right? He's sitting on his front porch and just living the life because he's done. So there's no reason for him to come back and be the big bad anymore.
Well, there's one story in the books where they team up with Thanos.
Right. I don't think we get that necessarily.
No.
And
but
obviously,
that would be a twist.
Obviously, it's going to be the heroes bringing the fight to him because they want to undo what he's already done. And then his motivation is going to be to defend himself and stop them from undoing what he did. But there is a theory that, you know, he ends up not being really the main protagonist because there's nothing else for him to do. Now, I don't know if that is true at all and what the, you know, the main villain or the main plot line could turn out to be. But
well,
there is a certain line of thinking that could support that, you know.
I think we could definitely get at least a hint of a bigger villain because that if you don't at least hint at it, it almost leaves you at like, okay, so what kind of movie could you make after this? Because building to this, this is the biggest, baddest villain we've had.
Well,
and you feel like, I mean, he literally wants to destroy half the universe. What's the next guy? But, wants to destroy the whole universe.
Well, but here's the thing. Do you get this? I get the sense that the next wave of Marvel movies or the like kind of the next immediate future of Marvel is not building towards another culminating big event. You know what I mean? They could definitely go the almost like the DC route and just start doing standalone kind of stories.
But they've been so successful with the crossovers, minor, even right, all their standalones, like, they've had crossovers.
But to your point, like, what's the next escalation up from what we just had?
Secret
like, what
Wars?
Stakes could there be? Maybe Secret Wars.
I've heard rumors of that.
Yeah, and maybe.
I've heard rumors of
But the thing is,
Galactus,
Secret Wars would dictate that you have to go back to these same characters again. And I get the feeling that Marvel
not
is not wanting to go back. Well, but the thing is, if you look at Secret Wars is based on Spider-Man, Thor, Hulk, Captain America. It's all the Avengers. Now, granted, the other characters are in
There's
it, too.
X-Men in there, too, yeah.
They're in there, too, but it's still centrally built around these same characters that we're kind of walking away from right now. And I get the feeling that Marvel is wanting to go in a different direction from what they just finished with. Because that's why we're getting the Eternals. I feel like the next thing is very cosmic. And that goes back to what I was saying earlier, and that's where the Dark Phoenix saga could really come into play, because they could be part of this big space epic that they're starting out on with the Eternals and Guardians of the Galaxy and the Skrulls and the Kree. And, you know, for the X-Men, you could get the Shi'ar Empire and all that stuff. And you could meet the Phoenix Force and you could start to build. And maybe that is your next big bad. Maybe the Phoenix Force is your next Thanos. But I don't know. Like, I get the sense that they might not be trying to build. Like, I don't think their goal is to do 21 more movies to build to another endgame. You know, I think this was such an ambitious thing, and obviously it was hugely successful for him. But, I mean, what's the weight of expectation to have to do that all again? You know what I mean?
Well, that's the thing. Like, you have to do something different.
Right, so, different. That's what I'm saying. I think it's different. Like, I don't think... I definitely think there's still going to be threads of interconnection between their movies, but I just don't know that they're all going to be building towards this huge culminating endpoint like we did with you know, this generation of movies.
But their road to success, think of the road that got us to Endgame. Every single movie was a great standalone movie. Maybe not great, but
Full
you
the
know
Dark
what
World.
I just watched it. I liked it.
They're good, but they're not
they're
all
good.
Great. Yeah.
All right. So maybe they weren't great. They weren't all great, but they were all good standalone movies that we as an audience sat there and was like, how does this tie in? Does this tie in? Maybe this doesn't tie in. You know what I mean? So it's like they could start anew after Endgame. And we don't know it for a few years. We won't know what they're building to. Because when they started this 22 movies ago, 10 years, 11 years ago, we didn't know what they were building to. We got hints. And, you know, they created an entire new, you know, genre of movie going where you have to watch at the end, you know, end credit scenes. They Ferris Bueller'd you. And that was a big part of building towards Thanos. So those little nuggets are what got us to Endgame. The movies themselves, they were, you know, Easter eggs galore, but that's we don't have to know for 5 years what they're right. building to. And 5-6 years from now, we're going to look, we could be looking back all refreshed because it's been 5 years since Endgame and be like, now what are we building to? What's the next one? And like you said, maybe they, maybe this Dark Phoenix movie is going to incorporate something. Who knows?
Imagine right, but I guess my
the
point
end of Dark
is...
Phoenix, there's a end credit scene that ties into something with Marvel.
Right, but I guess my point is, if they don't do that, are you going to be disappointed? Like, I don't feel like it has to build to...
No, but
like I said, I don't think it has to be a big, giant thing next time.
Right, but that's my point. I think I kind of, like, overworded my entire point there, which I do all the time. My point is, if they had never done Endgame, all of the movies previous were good movies. We enjoyed all of these movies. You know, yes, you didn't like Dark World as much as you liked other movies, but still, it was a fun ride. We didn't even need Endgame.
Right.
But that anticipation was fun, too. But do you see what I mean? So, like, they could just go on and make single movies. Like, I'm sure Spider-Man is going to be building to something, but we won't know for 6-7 years.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's what I mean. It's like, it's not going to be evident right away. Just like when we saw Iron Man, we didn't know Endgame.
Right. I don't think they knew Endgame when they made Iron Man. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly. So. But I think they have a good roadmap of how to do this. And just make your movies and let it play out from there and see where the audience goes, see how this goes, and we'll build the network from there. So that answers my next question. What's after Endgame?
Dark Phoenix saga. No, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. That's
Spider-Man.
The thing.
Spider-Man's the only link.
Well,
that
oh,
we have.
Movie-wise, yeah, Spider-Man is the only thing that's on the books
right.
that we know of. I mean, well, there's other things that we know of, but the only thing that's really in a stage of production is Spider-Man.
Right.
They're not working on any other movies at this point that we know about.
Them, but we know we're getting Guardians 3. We know we're getting Black Panther.
And we're getting Doctor Strange 2.
Doctor Strange 2.
Right.
So you know they're all still going to be in the Avengers world.
Well, I don't know.
Going
are they?
Forward.
I don't know if they are. They're all going to be
movies.
Part of... Right, but they're going to be part of Phase 4. So they're not going to be part of this...
That's what I mean.
...storyline or this Avengers event anymore. They're just familiar characters that are going forward to something else.
Right.
You know.
And we'll get Captain Marvel.
Well, yeah, Captain Marvel 2 for sure.
And who knows what's going to spin off of that.
Well, we know we're getting the Eternals. We know we're getting the Eternals.
Okay, yep.
And like I said, I think that's why it becomes, you know, you look at the movies that are going to be left. Guardians of the Galaxy, Eternals, Captain Marvel, these are all space-based you know, franchises. So I think the next wave of movies doesn't take place on Earth as much. Like, I think we are going to start exploring other planets and, you know, being out there and, you know, like I said, some of these other big franchises are, like I said, I think we're going to be more grounded in space. I'm cool with, you know, I think that's great. Now, obviously Black Panther is going to bring us back to, you know, we're going to be back on Earth for Black Panther, but even Doctor Strange doesn't have to take place on Earth. Like it could be mystical. It could be, you know, he goes to space,
right.
and does different things. So, it doesn't have to be
what
grounded
about,
to New York City, but
what about Guardians actually coming back to Earth? I heard some talk of that too. Some rumors
it could
of,
for
of him coming back. Here to his that's his relatively home planet.
They could for sure, but I don't know what is for them on Earth, like kind of villain wise or story wise. You know, like I don't know what they'd be doing here.
Right.
Like I don't
they
know if they spend
a, have to write the story around that, but what
I don't know if they spend a whole movie here though, is what I'm saying. I don't think they spend a whole movie on Earth. He might come back to Earth, you know, and I think that makes sense, but I feel like it's just a pit stop. You know, I don't think he stays. But you know, who knows? You know, we have no idea. But I'm betting that most of the next phase is not grounded, you know, based around Earth necessarily. You know, I think that's why, you know, because then going off into space, you know, you've got Galactus, you've got Silver Surfer. Like, it opens up so many possibilities for, you know, other movies and franchises to come, you know, based on their kind of cosmic characters. And I just think that would be a lot of fun to get. You know, yeah. Again, I'm sure somewhere along the way we're going to get a Spider-Man 3, and, you know, we're going to get other things that are going to bring us back to Earth. But I think by and large, it's going to be kind of based away.
Yeah.
So,
do we get like any more?
I think that's cool. Well, there's been talks. Well, there have been talks about Namor for a long time. It's just, who knows? You know, there's nothing. I don't think they're not afraid of Aquaman. You know what I mean? Like, Marvel's not going to stay away from Namor because Aquaman was a huge hit. You know, they didn't stay away from Captain Marvel because Wonder Woman was a big hit. I think, if anything, it makes them want to do Namor even more. I just don't know. There's always been licensing rights, and I don't think he's tied 100% to Fox. I think Universal was involved with Namor also. So I think there's some weird rights things with him still. But I would love to see it. You know, I mean, I think he's a great character. And he's not, you know, obviously, you know, he has the same power. Basically, him and Aquaman are kind of the same as far as their powers. But, I mean, they're very different characters. Like, I think there's enough differences there that it doesn't feel like you're just watching the Marvel version of Aquaman. Like, the story would be completely different. Other than the fact that, yes, there's all going to take place underwater, you know. But there's you know, Namor is a very different character from Aquaman. You know, not nearly as noble. You know, definitely, you know, has played the villain multiple times throughout his history. Yes. But again, one of those guys that doesn't consider himself a villain either. You know, he's like Magneto in that sense. Like, he's protecting his people. Magneto's protecting mutants. You know, they feel like they're on the right. But he's definitely not above, you know, doing things that are, he's more like Ocean Man. He's more like Orm, really. You know, will go to any length to protect Atlantis and protect his people. And if it means going to war and wiping out half of the surface world. Man, especially his current, the way he's being written right now, you know, he's at war with the surface, you know, in the new Invaders run and, you know, kind of the way they're playing him right now. So very much the same as Ocean Master. You know, he's carrying out attacks on the surface, and, you know, they're very similar characters and very similar motivations. So
he looked like he was highlighted in Iron Man 2 at the end. If you look on those maps, I watched Iron Man 2 last week.
Uh-huh.
And if you look on those, you know, at the end of that movie where he sits down with Stark sits down with Fury.
Uh-huh.
And they asked him, like, oh, you know, they go over him not being part of the Avengers. And he's like, but wait, you know. But there's maps in the background. You could see they have all the S.H.I.E.L.D. maps going and all those things. There's little squares on different parts of the map. And you see the one in Arizona, which just, you know, is Thor's hammer.
Right.
There's one in New York, which you know is Hulk. You could see the one in Africa, which you know is Wakanda.
Right.
But there's one in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean.
Really?
And it's down towards the south of the Atlantic, like off, almost like in between South America and Africa type area.
Right.
So I'm wondering if that's highlighting him.
Could be.
Or the raft. But I don't think they would highlight that as a, I thought that was more north anyways.
Right.
But
yeah, I don't know if it would be the raft, because they've never, well, of course they've never mentioned Namor either, but
right.
I don't think the raft would be, like, those are all kind of, like, persons or items of interest to S.H.I.E.L.D., and I don't know that the raft would be that. You know, Namor definitely would
but
be.
But I thought that was interesting to see that, and it's like, you know, with this movie coming up, of course, I'm watching all these movies, and you're looking for anything, and I was like, huh, that'd be interesting.
Right.
But, yeah, that'd be, I mean, I could, like you said, it's like he's, even if he is more like Ocean Master, it's still something that, it's a character that they can write to their specs for the movie.
Well, but again, he doesn't have to be.
I don't know how he would fit in Endgame. I'm just saying in the future.
Oh, no, he wouldn't, he wouldn't fit in Endgame at all. But
save the fishes?
But he doesn't have to be written as a hero. Like, he could be written like Deadpool or a Punisher or something. Like, he doesn't have to be written as a hero.
Right.
To be a compelling character or have a good movie. You know, he's definitely an anti-hero.
He actually would be more compelling if he was like the anti-hero type thing, and then they used him, like the Avengers borrowed him or something.
Right.
Because it was like, look. All right. Anything else for Endgame?
No, I don't think so.
All right. Got a, in the middle of our conversation, I got a very interesting, really funny text from my daughter. It says, of all the Spider-Man universes, I don't know if you've seen this, of all the Spider-Man universes you could be born into, you were born in the one where Stan Lee is not a fictional character. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like that. So, all right. That should do it for...
I thought you were going to ask me which Spider-Man universe I would want to be born into.
Nope.
I thought that was the question.
Nope.
And I was going to say, well, I'd definitely be Spider-Ham, but...
Oh, what did I just see? Somebody referenced that. I think it was in one of the comic books.
Yeah.
Was it one of the War of the Realms last week?
Yes. Yeah, they said something about...
You're like, you're lucky. It could have been the pig.
Yeah, it was in Journey into Mystery because I read it.
Okay,
last
night.
Yeah.
That was awesome. That last week. It's like, you're lucky. I could have been the pig.
Right.
But, oh, speaking of that, do you see why I didn't want to tell you the characters?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely an eclectic mix of characters.
Right. And it was fun to figure out and to find out who they were. If I had told you who they all were,
right,
I don't know if that would have added to you wanting to read it or maybe taken away.
Right.
But I thought it was fun. That's why when you're like, oh, who are some of the characters? And I was like, I don't want to tell you.
Yeah.
I thought it was a pretty good group, and it was interesting.
Different group for sure.
That's what I mean. It's like, and you almost expect, you have one expectation and then it changes.
Yeah.
So I thought that, and that's why I like that book. And that's why I thought that book is a pretty good, I think it's one to follow. You know what I mean? It's one of the tangents that's really pertinent to the rest of the story.
Yeah.
So quick revisit there. All right. We good?
Yep.
All righty. Hey, any questions? Hey, we're looking for questions. Questions of the week. And we're not just going to answer one. We just only got one so far. But hit us up on Twitter @thebrightside_chat. You can, you know, direct message us. That's how Dr. Joe did it. You can email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. Listen to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify. Just search The Bright Side Chat. We're the only ones on all of them. And Facebook?
Facebook.com/brightsidechat.
And I will get on that, but if somebody's really dying for me to get on it, that'll make me get on it. So. All right. Is that it?
Yeah.
You excited for next week?
Yep.
Hellboy?
Oh, yeah. You know it.
I know. We're going to have to record Hellboy next week. Then we get to go to Endgame.
Yeah.
I can't wait. And we didn't even touch on Game of Thrones, but we're comic books, so.
Oh, well, yeah. Don't get me started. I love Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe we'll touch on it a little bit next week, kind of uplift. Be a little uplifting.
Yeah, after Hellboy. You're not enticing our listeners to tune in next week at all.
Hey, I think it's going to be an entertaining listen, just to listen to me turn myself into a pretzel on how I can turn this into the bright side.
Yeah, right.
All right. Looking forward to next week. See you then.
All right. Take care.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for listening to The Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors that we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com, Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com, Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com, Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listen to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. Thanks for listening.